I'm James Wilson, and this is Sleep Bollocks. The world is more aware of the impact of poor sleep on our health, but weirdly, we seem to be sleeping worse. And I know why. It's the bollocks that are spouted by brands and experts that is designed to scare us into sleeping better, but we end up sleeping appallingly. Whether it's experts who tell you that you'll die if you have less than 7 hours sleep, trackers that don't track your sleep very accurately, or mouth tape that just stops you sleeping well. Join me on a journey through the world of sleep bollocks. Never mind the sleep bollocks, here's the Sleep Geek. Hello, once again, I'm back to talk about the bollocks around sleep. Today we're talking about school start times. We're talking about the times our children go to school. And really what we're talking about is high school, comprehensive schools, secondary schools, talking about the schools our teenagers go to. And as a society, I think we've accepted that poor physical and mental health of our teens is an issue. We see that, we understand that. We see it every day. We see it, we're talking about the impact that social media has on our teens' health. We talk about diet and how that impacts our teens' health, and lack of exercise and how that impacts our teens' health. So we understand that poor health is a real problem for our teens. But what we don't really acknowledge and accept is how impactful sleep is on the poor health of our teens, both mentally and physically. As I've mentioned in this podcast many times, episodes we've gone along, sleep is the foundation that our health is built upon. Sleep is the foundation your physical and mental health is built upon. Food, water, air and sleep. You can live longer without food than you can without sleep. So why is it we go out of our way to do something that makes our teenagers' health worse? Every single day we are doing this. We're spending millions on mental health programs for our teenagers. We are spending so much time talking about, Colin Minchin's discussing how poorly the health of our teens is. And yet, every day, we're deciding to do something that makes teenagers' health significantly worse, which makes them perform worse in exams, which makes their behaviour worse, that makes how present they are at school worse. School start times, that's what it is. The times we have our teenagers starting school does not fit their body's natural rhythm, and because of it, they perform worse at school. Yet we do not acknowledge this or accept this. We pretend it is not real. It is a right old load of bollocks. 30 years ago, when I was at school, Oakwood School in Rotherham, if you want to know, it's actually, if you go on their website, I am one of their famous former alumni, including James May from Top Gear, Justine Greening, former Tory politician, John Hampshire, ex-England cricketer, and Nick Banks, who was the drummer in Pulp. So as you can see, I am one of many people who went to Oakwood Comprehensive School in Rotherham who is a famous alumni. I would say that I'm pushing the definition of famous there. But when I was at Oakwood, we'd start school at 9 in the morning, and our first lesson would be at 9:20. Now, the schools here in the UK starting at 8. In the States, in America, woof, starting school at 7 o'clock. I did a podcast about a year ago with a lad who were trying to challenge this with you in a podcast, and he was talking about the impact of poor sleep on kids' attainment and mental health. A really good podcast. I will find it out and put it in the show notes. It was really interesting, particularly the bit where he challenges the head of schools in New York City on the school start time, and he did a good job on it. So 30 years ago we're starting school at 9. We're now starting school at 8, sometimes a little bit earlier. Most schools probably start somewhere between 8 and 8:30. And that extra hour, half an hour, would make a difference to our teenagers. Because generally, teens are getting up somewhere between 6 and 6:30 to get to school for 8, 8:30. They've got to catch the bus. I don't know about you, but when I'm driving on my school run to get my kids to school, we live, blended family, kids go to school in Barnes, I live in Wakefield, so it's a bit of a long school run. I'll see kids asleep at bus stop. If I go down to London to do some work, I'm on tube and there's kids asleep on the tube. And yet we think this is fine. Because what we say to society is, it was same in my day, lad. They need to be getting up and going to school because they need to understand what it's like to work. Yet work's more flexible now. Work ain't starting at 8 o'clock. Work is more flexible and more people are doing shift-type work. So how is school start time preparing them for the world of work? Would not it be good that they were at school more often? Would it not be good that their behaviour is better at school so they can learn better? And would it not be good that their exam results were better because they're starting school later? Wouldn't that be good, eh? But no, I had to go through it, so should you. But you didn't. If you're my age, 44, you didn't have to go to school at 8 o'clock in the morning. You went to school at 9. If you're old enough, you went to school at 9. So let's not punish our teenagers for something that we create. We call our teenagers lazy, but we cause the behaviour that looks like laziness. They struggle to get up at 6:30 in the morning. That'd be like me as a 44-year-old getting up at 4:30. I'm an early bird, but I don't want to get up that early, thank you very much. At a weekend when they have a really long line and we tell them to get up, lazy bones, because you've got stuff to do. That's not their fault. We are creating this. When we're telling them to not use their devices after 9:30 and trying to make them go to bed at 10, because, you know, I do get that. Some teenagers are annoying and it'd be nice if they went to bed at 10, but that doesn't suit their body's natural rhythm. Really, it's 15-year-old shouldn't be going to bed before 11. Yeah, you might need to go to bed before that, but you need to build that relationship of trust with your teenager. So we need to stop blaming teens for something that we have created. Now, if you're a teenager listening to this, this is not carte blanche to go off and playing your PlayStation till 4 o'clock in the morning. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about having a proper wind down routine an hour before bed. We're talking about preparing ourselves for bed. But we're not helping teenagers by making them go to bed really early because they've got to get up early because we've created a school day that does not work for them. Now, what does the research show on this? Now, there's a fellow that I love in the UK called Professor Paul Kelly. In sort of the years of the New Labour, so we're probably talking 25, 30 years ago, he ran a school, a research school. And in that school, the school started at 10. And for 2 years, they did this. And in that time, the first year they did it, exam results improved by 18%. Exam scores improved by 18%. In the second year, it improved by 19%. And what, but actually, when you talk, read anything about Professor Kelly's work, what he talks about is the improvement in behaviour, not just at school, but also at home. Kids, God bless them, when they're less tired, they're less of a dickhead. That is true. If you've got children, you will know this. They also found that kids were coming to school more because when they're sleeping well, their immune system works better and they're less likely to be ill. Makes sense, doesn't it? Professor Kelly thought, brilliant, I've solved this. I've proved it. Let's go and change the education system. And schools systematically refused to do it. Whether it was parents who didn't want to do it, or teachers who didn't want to do it, or governors who didn't want to do it, schools, time and time again, don't accept that school needs to start later. So Professor Kelly carried on doing this work, kind of looking at how we support teenagers in getting better sleep. And he's adamant. Actually, half eight in late enough. 10 to 9 is not late enough. 10 o'clock would work better for teenagers. So what he did to prove this, he took 4 years, same school, secondary school, state secondary school, so run by the government in the UK, over 4 years. First year, starting at 8:50 of the experiment. Years 1 and 2, they started at 10, and then they went back to 10 to 9, 8:50 for the final year. So they allowed them to have a comparison between the two. When they were going to school at 10 in the morning, The exam results improved by about 12%. So when they reverted back to 8:50, they found that absenteeism went up by 30%. So again, Professor Kelly has been proving this for 25 years. Why are we still talking about it? Yeah, anytime I talk about this on social media, I just get people going, just disagreeing and saying it's not on. And it's the thing that creates the most tension and actually abuse is this, when you talk about later school start times. Now, parents will say, yeah, but how will they get up? I've already gone to work. And that could be a problem. But have we tried it to see if that's a problem? Professor Kelly didn't advise that was a problem when he was doing this research. So is it a problem, or are we perceiving it to be a problem? And actually, if you start school at 8, often you're finishing school at 2. And my stepkid's school used to do this. And what you see in Barnsley Town Centre were kids from their school running amok in Barnsley bus station at 2 in the afternoon. Because they're going to have to go home then, and nobody's in. So the teenagers, we've all been there. We've all been silly sods at some point in our teenage years. It happens. Whether they go to school later or go to school earlier, there's going to be probably a problem at some point with some kids. So I think start times is a bit of a distraction when it comes to talking about this. It does mean there's going to be upheaval. It does mean teachers will start school later and finish school later. As well as school start times, there are problems with how we are talking to our kids about sleep. And not just the kids, also the teachers. Like, are the teachers getting any support with their sleep? And knowing a lot of teachers and having worked in a lot of schools, often the teacher's sleep is as damaged by the school day as the kids is. So can we maybe support teachers better? Can we support kids better? Just give you a little story to highlight this. So my stepdaughter, Ruby, she was in a citizenship class, and they do sleeping citizenship. So in this year seven, she's year eight now, year seven, she was told that she needs to be in bed for half nine and not use her phone for an hour before bed, which again is like just that prescriptive, awful advice that doesn't apply to teenagers. And oh, she was told to have a banana before bed as well. And, you know, anyone who works with teenagers knows that this advice is quite rife. Unfortunately, the people who've been educating our teenagers in sleep up to now and educating the people who educate our teenagers in sleep up to now, the training's not that great. The advice is a bit out of date. You know, they've been told not to use the phones because the claim is the blue light off the phone impacts on the kid's ability to fall asleep. It makes the body think it's awake. And we've seen that's not true. There's a guy called Professor Michael Gladysar. He's done some great research on this, which actually shows something that I saw nearly 10 years ago in the work I was doing with teenagers at the time, because I've worked a lot with teenagers. I would say I've worked with more teenagers than anybody else in the country, which is why I'm so passionate about this. I saw this 8 years ago, and the research now is catching up, and it's showing that the blue light off your phone does not impact on your child's sleep. What they watch impacts a bit, but we can educate them on how to use the phone for good when it comes to sleep. Meditation apps like Headspace or Calm, YouTube channels that are designed to relax you before bed, playlists on Spotify and Headspace. All this stuff can be helpful before bed. Your phone is not the enemy when it comes to falling asleep. It's the choices you make on it. So if we educate our children better on those choices, Headspace, Calm, Sleepiest, YouTube channels designed to relax you, Spotify, Apple playlists, all this stuff is great before bed. The phone's not the problem. Educate our kids properly on what to do. Don't give them prescriptive and patronising advice. So year seven, that's what she got. Year eight, well, a couple of weeks ago, year eight, we had a teacher, she was telling her that insomnia is the inability to stay awake. Actually, insomnia is the opposite of that. Insomnia is the inability to go to sleep. We can't go to sleep, we've got insomnia. When we can't stay awake, I think what the teacher in question was talking about was narcolepsy, a different sleep disorder. Now, our Ruby is the sort of girl, she takes after her stepdad, sort of girl who will challenge bollocks when she sees it. So she said to the teacher, that's not true. She said, how dare you question back, Ruby? Here's some disciplinary points. Got a very intricate and complex disciplinary system at my stepkid's school. At times, it does feel like they're living in a fascist regime, but she got in trouble for it. She was adamant, though. She's like, no, my stepdad is a sleep expert, and I know what you've described. That is not insomnia. Let's look it up, miss, on Google. They looked it up on Google, and they found that Ruby was right, and so Ruby got the disciplinary points removed. But that's the standard of sleep education we have in schools. So as well as having really poor start times and finish times for our kids' sleep, for our teenagers' sleep, we've also got a really poor quality of education in terms of school start times. Again, impacting on the quality of our kids' sleep. So I want us to have a proper conversation about school start times here in the UK. I want us to start considering starting school later. Because when I get to my stepkids' school at half nine, there's a load of kids who are struggling to get into school. Maybe those kids who are struggling to get into school, we know that's a problem, we're blaming COVID, and I think it is part of the reason, but I'd argue the school start times don't help. That if your kid struggles with school, struggles to get up, it's going to be easier to get them there at 10 than it is to get them there at 8. So if we start to change school start times, maybe our teenagers' behaviour improves. Maybe their overall mental and physical health improves, and maybe they start sleeping better. And remember, sleep is the golden elixir, the manna from heaven. It makes us better versions of ourselves. We want to improve attainment and grades in our kids. Looks to me like a really easy way to do that is go to school later. So I get asked, James, what is it that you actually do day to day? And I will tell you, what does a sleep geek do on a daily basis? So I am a sleep ambassador for brands. At the moment, I'm working with Mattress Online. I help their customers and their people get the best sleep they can. I also have a Sleep Geek certified scheme where I certify products that are trying to help people sleep better and have reasonable claims in their marketing, trying to cut out that bollocks from product marketing. I also own a company called Kitmate, and at Kitmate, we work with organisations and sports teams, people like Next, Under Armour, West Ham United, to help their people get better kip. We do things around sport and sleep. We do things around leadership and sleep, shift work and sleep, menopause and sleep, kids and babies and sleep, and we have the UK's only pet sleep expert on our books. If you want to find out more about my work, you can go to thesleepgeek.co.uk or follow me on social media at thesleepgeek. So as you know, on the podcast on Sleep Bollocks, we actually like to also be a bit positive about things. So I'm going to leave you with a recommendation of another book, probably like the book that had such an impact on how I practice as a practitioner. Really well-written book, written as a conversation between a sleep expert and an athlete who is trying to improve their sleep. It's called Sleep to Win by James Mars. I forgot to bring it in with me, but it is a really excellent book. If you are wanting to sleep better, particularly if you are in sport with either sort of semi-pro, you're young, in academies, professional, read that book and it will give you some really great tips, hints, and build a toolbox to get better kip. Because as we know, if we take the stress out of sleep, we start to sleep better. If we understand who we are as a sleeper, in terms of are we a good or poor sleeper, hot or cold sleeper, what's our sleep type, what's our sleep need, we start to get better kip. If we understand how our lives impact on our sleep, our partners, pets, kids, jobs, hobbies, exercise, diet, alcohol, caffeine, nicotine, stress, anxiety, the products we sleep on or under, when we understand what works for us and what doesn't, we build a toolbox for better sleep. We can get better kip. Hope this helps. Sleep well.